This is Radio Superior 1951, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, Jack McKenna speaking, and it's Saturday, March 17th, 1951. St. Patty's Day. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. The museum curator is in, and surprise guests to help us for the wearing of the green.
Or orange, if you're an Irish Protestant.
I don't think we should be bringing politics into this, Lou.
So, who's the guest?
Guests, plural. And I'm not telling.
I don't want to be ambushed by a bunch of St. Patrick's Day hooligans live on the air. Who are they?
Not telling. It's a surprise.
Be that way.
I will.
Okay, then.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Firestone Tires at 14th and Ogden in Superior. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Mac visits the Korean War front and is well pleased. Atchison asks action against Soviet power and a crackdown on underworld racketeers. We begin our shortwave report from Tokyo.
This is Mac Johnson at MacArthur headquarters in Japan. General MacArthur paid a surprise visit to the fighting front in Korea today. He found everything going well. The United Nations commander jeeped to within 2,000 yards of the battle line south of Chuncheon. More than 200,000 Chinese Reds are massed along that line for a last-ditch defense of the base they must hold to stay below the 38th parallel. MacArthur returned to Tokyo tonight. Fifth Air Force warplanes flew 733 sorties by dusk, shooting up communist transports and troops. AP correspondent William C. Bernard reported from the central sector, American forces northwest of Hongcheon today threw back Red Chinese attacks. This was near the area visited by General MacArthur. AP correspondent Tom Becker reports from Seoul that U.S. and South Korean patrols probed vigorously north of the Han River all along the Western Front. Censorship withheld further details from these three sectors, but earlier dispatches say the Reds rushed fresh troops into the central sector and lashed back with ground arms and artillery fire from ridge positions south of Chuncheon. MacArthur says his visit to Korea, his 13th of the war, was just a routine trip to see his old friends, the Marines. The United Nations intelligence officer in Seoul says that there were signs the hard-pressed communists soon may be forced to pull north of parallel 38, the old boundary between North and South Korea. But south of Chuncheon, the hard-fighting communists drove off UN patrols probing their outer defenses. In Tokyo, this is Mac Johnson.
This is Lyle C. Wilson in Washington. Secretary of State Dean Acheson urged the American Republic today to take immediate action on the threat posed by international communism. He says no free nation anywhere in the world is secure against the menace and called for full economic and military cooperation with the United States. Acheson delivered the keynote speech of the first regular session of the Inter-American Conference of Foreign Ministers. He says the instruments of Soviet Russia's new imperialism are, quote, a formidable machine of war and the international communist movement. Never before have we faced a menace of this magnitude. Never before has there been so great a challenge facing our independent nations. The freedom of the individual man as well as the independence of government is threatened, end quote. Acheson says only by building up their strength can the three nations provide a deterrent force which he calls the only real road to peace. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
James Marlowe here in D.C. A nationwide federal tax crackdown on racketeers is shaping up rapidly this weekend. Informed sources say the filing of criminal charges against Ralph Capone is only the beginning. These sources, asking not to be named, say a barrage of tax claims with criminal charges attached in many cases are in the making as a result of 3 years of investigation. Names are being withheld because a tip-off to the quarry could cripple the drive. It was made plain that some of the country's most notorious underworldlings are tagged for tax action and soon. Capone, brother of the late Chicago gang king Al Capone, is described as merely the first nationally known figure to be accused in this 1951 drive. The action against Capone stems directly from the initial federal use in 1930 of the tax laws to jail hoodlums who'd avoided conviction on other scores. Ralph Capone got a 3-year sentence then, and his brother Al, who died in 1947, was later set up for a 12-year term. Revenue officials say that catching mobsters in a tax trap is much harder now than in 1930, when they laid themselves wide open by filing no income tax returns while living lavishly gave clear proof of unreported income. In D.C., this is James Marlowe.
Richard C. Burkholz reporting in Washington. The Senate Crimes Investigating Committee today asked the Senate to cite racketeer Frank Costello and big-time gambler Joe Adonis and Frank Erickson for contempt. Chairman Estes Kefauver says the group voted unanimously to start contempt proceedings because of their refusal to answer certain questions at New York hearings this week. But the arrest, which came Friday with three witnesses testifying, appears only as a prelude to former Mayor William O'Dwyer's quizzing Monday. Meanwhile, two Chicago newspapers, The Tribune and The Sun-Times, report New York Governor Thomas Dewey will be called before the committee to share the spotlight with O'Dwyer. In special dispatches from New York, the Chicago papers say Dewey will be questioned about gambling at Saratoga Springs, an upstate resort near Albany. Dewey's secretary, James Haggerty, termed the story wholly untrue. 51-year-old former convict Lewis Weber is being held on a $25,000 bail after he denied ever visiting City Water Supply Commissioner James Moran at his office. Moran had told the committee that he once accompanied O'Dwyer, now ambassador to Mexico, on a visit to Costello's swank Central Park West apartment. In Washington, this is Richard C. Burkholz.
This is Paris calling. Stan Turner reporting. Will General Dwight D. Eisenhower run for president next year? And if he does, will he be a Republican or a Democrat? These questions keep cluttering up a big part of conversation about Ike here in Paris, where he has the headquarters for his Atlantic Army. At headquarters itself, the answer is always no comment, no reaction. The latest questions arose today as a result of a magazine story published in the United States by Merrill Muller, a National Broadcasting Company commentator. Muller says that Eisenhower told him of a deal the general had made with President Truman, which provided that the president would recall Ike from his Atlantic Army command in time to make him available for the presidential campaign of 1952. In Paris, this is Stan Turner.
Senator Arthur Vandenberg is reported more comfortable. The senator's personal physician, Dr. A.B. Smith, says the 66-year-old Michigan senator spent the most comfortable day of the week yesterday. However, Dr. Smith says Vandenberg's condition remains unchanged and is serious. He suffered a relapse February the 26th while recuperating from a series of tumor operations. In other news briefs, Pope Pius's Easter Sunday blessing to the city and the world will be broadcast by the Vatican Radio beginning at 4:45 a.m. And each member of the Council of Europe's foreign ministers found on his desk today a shamrock. And who put it there this St. Patrick's Day? Irish delegate John O'Driscoll. KUWS Radio News time is 6:10. Jack McKenna has this word from the Firestone stores.
Indeed I have, Lou. Tires are a problem nowadays, but Firestone has it pretty well covered. Now, for instance, you can buy two recaps for $17.90. Is that a deal? I should hope to tell you at Firestone. And there are some more, too, of course. I'll mention just a couple of them. The 670 by 15 size, two for $21. And how about those 650 16s, two for $21.50. And there's more, too, of course. Get these extra values. You can't miss, folks. They're safe, too. They're well-built. And most of all, they're Firestone. They're at 14th and Ogden, remember. Or if you want to call them, it's dial 6791. Lou?
A legislator wants to find out how to treat alcoholics. Mike Simonson has that story.
A bill for creation of a Bureau of Alcohol Studies for the investigation, study, and treatment of alcoholics has been introduced in the State Assembly by Assemblyman Walter Cook of Clark County and Herman Eisner of Dane County. The bill provides for an annual appropriation of $145,000 for the maintenance and operation of municipal facilities for the treatment of alcoholics. Now, the bill stipulates such facilities must be open to all patients, regardless of the ability to pay. The Adult Guidance Center in Superior is pioneering in the field of alcoholic treatment on an experimental basis. The state has contributed $30,000 toward its operation during the 18 months since it was opened in late 1949. Lou?
The editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, Colonel Robert McCormick, was christened Brother Eagle, or the Strong One, by the Chippewa Tribe of Indians of the Bad River Reservation. The colorful ceremony was conducted at Dodd Gymnasium in Ashland before 200 Indians dressed in tribal costumes, while a large crowd of whites from the Shawamigan Bay area looked on. The Indians came from Bad River, La Couderay, and Lac du Flambeau reservations, as well as La Crosse, Black River Falls, and even from Milwaukee. Dressed in buckskins, beaded suits, and other Indian garb, some wore only scanty tights and a few feathers and moccasins, while their bodies were covered with brightly covered war paint. After the christening ceremonies, McCormick found himself with a beaded and feathered headdress and a beaded belt. He sat through the dancing and singing that followed with a bow and arrow in his hand. The ceremonies were presided over by John Chappell, Jr. Honor was bestowed by the Chippewa tribe, and Chief James White made the presentation of a headdress. Bad River Chief Anton Starr was in charge of the adoption ceremonies, who said that McCormick, quote, "You are one of a large family with no other obligations than to be a brother to us." Jack?
I've always wanted that, Lou. I mean, those headdresses are something else, and there's nothing neater than a beaded belt. Maybe you could put in a good word for me with Chief Starr, Lou.
I envision an incident created when you start playing with the bow and arrow they give you.
Me? Cause an incident with my red brothers? Not a chance. Now let's check the forecast for this Saturday night, St. Patty's Day, March 17th, 1951. Light snow tonight and tomorrow, with a high of just 25 above. Tomorrow night's low will be a chilly 15. Let's heat things up with Arthur Godfrey on the Martin and McKenna Show.
I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before. One leaf is sunshine, the second is rain. Third is the roses that grow in the lane. No need explaining, the one remaining is somebody I adore. I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before. Is rain. Third is the roses that grow in the lane. no need explaining. The one remaining is somebody I adore. I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before.
Arthur Godfrey, and I'm looking over a four-leaf clover.
I hear the harbor masters out in the hall. They're rehearsing.
That's the surprise. I love the harbor masters, and they're not hooligans.
They're so good. Why do they practice?
How do you think they got to be that good?
I never practice, and I'm good. I said, and I'm good.
Let's welcome Douglas County Museum curator Gerald Stowe. Good evening, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, good evening. There are some toughs outside your door, adorned in leather and metal. It makes me sore afraid.
Yes, they're mysterious and untamed.
Outside our door?
Must be the harbor masters.
A gang of harbor masters?
Yes, an assembly of toughs. Very frightening.
Attractive! In an unruly way.
A gang of barbershop toughs?
It's the Harbor Masters B Squad. They call themselves the Ghastly Boys.
Wanton in their own manly way.
Bad, Vivian. Bad.
Sorry, Master, but they're so delicious.
I hope you don't mind, but I brought my assistant, Vivian.
Mr. Stowe, I understand that you've just returned from Odena.
Yes, it was a delightful time. The students of St. Mary's Indian School on Shawamigan Bay put on a wonderful operetta called At the End of the Warpath.
Yes, Master helped with much advice about his experiences.
Master was around for the Indian Wars?
Bad, Vivian. Bad.
Sorry, Master.
Yes, no, what Vivian meant to say was I alluded to historical accounts in this production. The students portrayed the adventures of Tasi, only son of the chief of the Metolis tribe. Tasi wanders away from his wigwam, falls asleep, and is found by the warrior Toyanana.
No, Master, no, it's the warrior Toyanana, Doyanana the Lost.
Yes, Vivian is correct. Warrior Doyanana the Lost takes him to his wigwam. Meanwhile, the chief of the Metolis sends out scouts to find his son, who he fears has been abducted. Following footprints, the scouts are led to Doyanana's tent. A battle ensues. Doyanana is wounded.
That's Doyanana, Master!
Yes. And then, just as the scouts are about to scalp the afflicted Doyanana as ordered by the chief, Tasi intercedes on his behalf. Doyanana is saved.
Oh, the next part makes me cry.
I'm all a dither, and Lou's got goosebumps.
I do not.
Yes, it is then that Doyanana and Tasi realize that they are long-lost brothers, sons of the powerful chief. Indeed, the chief had unknowingly ordered his own son scalped, but the tragedy was averted, and the brothers united.
It was a beautiful performance with Kenneth Roundwin playing the part of Doyanana and Noel Cloud as Tasi. Also inspiring was student William Gokey, who played the impassioned chief who had suffered such mental turmoil as he feared he had lost both sons. But then both were found. The Indian maidens and young warriors were particularly cute by the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders of St. Mary's Indian School.
Yes, good, Vivian. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you, Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe.
We would like to stay a little longer if we could.
Mister is afraid to be biker harbor masters. Here they come now.
Wow, leather jackets. Chains and boots.
Turned up collars. Chewing gum.
Hey, you the radio fellas looking for some St. Paddy's Day songsters? Well, are you?
That'd be Lou. He's to blame.
Yes, Lou.
This is ridiculous. Whoever heard of a tough barbershop quartet?
Hey, Red, you want us to be over here by the microphones?
Yes, and wipe your feet.
How can anybody even be out on motorcycles in March? It's too slippery and cold.
Because we're not woozies. We're harbor masters.
Some think we can't be tough because we sing.
but we're hard as nails. Right, guys?
Yeah. We're not sissies. Never have been. Never will be. Okay, men. Let's do this thing.
Yes. Is this where they beat us up?
I'm standing behind Vivian.
Would you two stop that?
We are the Harbor Masters from Duluth. We're here tonight to entertain you, and that's the truth. We sing the old songs and sometimes the new, like the weather forecast for the next day. And cooler by the lake. Cooler by the lake.
Hey, not bad, guys. Not bad.
Oh, tell me you're not bad. It's a woman's fantasy to have such tender voices from irrepressible men who can't be tamed.
That's us, wild, bad, and untamable.
Not ready to obey the rules.
You guys want some licorice? I've got some green licorice for St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's enough. No licorice until we're done singing. Now, put it back.
No.
I said put it back.
Come on.
We have to.
Yeah.
All right. We came here to sing, so let's sing.
You may sing of a rose, which by other names would smell just as sweetly, they say. But I know that my rose would never consent to have that sweet name taken away. Shy whene'er I pass by the bower where my true love grows, how it grows. And my one wish has been that someday I may win the heart of my wild Irish rose. Everywhere, but none can compare with my wild Irish rose.
They look like tufts, but they no longer frighten me.
Yes, now Master, I also am no longer so excited over these men.
Now, look, sister, don't be fooled. We can be bad.
All right, Tuffy Tough.
Tuffy Tough?
Can we have some licorice now?
No.
I know a St. Patrick's Day story. I know a St. Patrick's story.
I love stories.
Is it a fairy tale? I love fairy tales.
So much for Tuffy Tough.
Yes, yes, Vivian is a gifted storyteller. It's a talent she picked up in the Dark Ages in Germania.
Germania?
Dark Ages?
Haven't you ever heard of the suspension of belief?
Of course, we knew that. It's just a way to spin a tail.
You mean pin the tail on the donkey. That's fun too, though.
I will do the performance, but only if you have another musical selection.
Okay, guys.
Compared with other countries, Ireland's a little place. But what would this old world be like without the Irish race? If there'd never been an Ireland, there would be no wild Irish rose, and the shamrock never would be growing where the River Shannon flows. If there'd never been an Ireland, there would be no place called Athlone, and there'd be no lakes of Killarney. And you'd kiss no Blarney's son. There would be no pretty Colleens with their laughing eyes so blue, so blue. And there'd be no Tipperary where the hills echo back to you. If there'd never been an Ireland, there would be no Mother Machree. If there'd never been an Ireland, what a poor world this would be. What a poor world this would be.
The Marvelous Dukes of Duluth, a quartet with the Duluth Superior Harbor Masters. Ladies and gentlemen, what a treat on this St. Patrick's Day, 1951.
Okay, boys, I'm going to need some help in my little St. Patrick's Day performance. I'm going to need some fairies.
Well, you can forget about these guys.
Pick me. Now, right now.
Hey, I want to be a fairy. I'm a great fairy.
I'm the best fairy in the whole bunch. Fairies go way back in my family.
Yes, me too. Pick me, Vivian, your master.
You can put leather jackets on them. You can put boots and chains on them.
But you can't take the fairy out of the man.
All of you can help. I need fairies and elves both.
I prefer to be an elf.
You've got the pointy toes and everything.
Now, a St. Patrick's Day story with narration by Mr. McKenna, who does it so well.
If you don't believe in fairies, then the Irish blood runs thin in your veins, and the shamrock means no more to you than does a common clover leaf. Listen to the story of sweet Patricia Walsh, a lass of County Kildare. You who doubt that fairies exist. Little Patty has smiling Irish eyes, a saucy Irish nose, and the lips of her laughing Irish mouth are as red as the crimson roses that clamber up the sides of her daddy's home. You see, Patty has seen fairies. Here's her story. Patricia went on a picnic with her nurse in the Irish fields. The lass was warned not to go into the woods, but there are gypsies in it. But she forgot when she saw a butterfly with a lovely colored back. Patty gave chase. She followed into the wood and fell asleep on the soft moss. Here be the little lassie's story from her own lips.
It was getting late when I woke, and to my surprise, I saw some busy little folk preparing for a dance in the trunk of a big oak tree.
Oi, I cannot wait for the dancing.
And the jiggin'. Don't be forgetting the jiggin'.
Some elves were gathering nuts and fruits.
Boy, here's another nut for your basket.
Thank you. And this fruit for your basket.
I be thanking you.
Others were catching fish in the stream and giving them to the cooks to cook.
I caught me a big un. I did. But he fought me all the way.
Oh, it was a battle, it was. And you won it. Good thing it wasn't a battle of wits, or you'd have lost hands down.
More were laying at a table for supper.
Fish too.
The table was composed of toad stew with little mushrooms all around for seats. Some were gathering moss and spreading it for a carpet in the dance room, while others set glowworms inside the tree so as to form a room. The glowworms held lanterns which threw light out.
Hi-ti-di-ti-do. Would you look at the glowworms glow?
Heaven help us! Don't they shine bright?
When everything and everyone was ready, the fairies came in by the thousands. The little fairies had long golden hair down their backs, and their dresses were embroidered with beads and lace.
Might I ask, where'd you get that lace?
Down at the Shamrock Lace Store, next to the Shamrock Bead Store.
Lovely, just lovely.
The elves were in green suits and pointed caps with white owl feathers at the side. They looked very smart indeed.
What do you think of the feathers?
Oh, fancy that. It looks like a wonder.
That it does, especially the way the pointy hat fits so perfectly on your pointy head.
Next, they danced, and after which they had supper, and after supper, they danced again to the sweetest music ever heard played on the wind. Then a funny little elf did tricks, which made the fairies and elves roar with laughter. And when I saw him standing on his head, I chuckled too. And then all in a second, everything vanished. I could hear my nurse's voice calling in the distance. Of course, I need not tell you I was smacked on the behind. But you see, I did not care, for I had seen fairies.
And that, my lasses and laddies, is the St. Patrick's Day story of Miss Patricia Walsh. The moral being that if there were more fairies and elves, less disregard for the rights of other people, it would be a wonderful thing for the world.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I have to say, that was great. Everybody, just great.
Thanks, Lou. And that's it for tonight. I leave all of you with this traditional St. Patrick's Day blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. And may the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
Oh,
happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face.
Leather didn't make them look tougher. Maybe if they grew mustaches.
That's always a good idea.
No, I don't know. Tattoos, maybe?
After dark, when everything is still, and the moon comes creek and o'er the hill. I'll be waiting patiently for you, for I love you too,
my honey.
Yes, indeed I do, my honey. Come along, along the Everglades. Watch the foals, see how they promenade. You're my ever-loving queen of all the pretty maids. For you're my ever-loving light blue, my moonlight blue. After dark, when anything you stay, when the moon comes creeping o'er the hill, I'll be waiting patiently for you, for I love you too,
my honey.
Yes, indeed I do, my honey. Come along, along the Everglades. Watch the foals, see how they promenade. You're my ever-loving queen of all the pretty maids. For you're my ever-loving light blue.
You've been listening to Radio Superior, March 17th, 1951, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Tonight's performances by Paul Guggenheimer, who played foreign correspondent Mac Johnson. John Munson played reporter Lyle C. Wilson. Pat Kelly was correspondent James Marlowe and the museum curator. Danielle Kading played museum assistant Vivian. The Dukes of Duluth Harbormasters include Jim Barsdorf, Marvin Johnson, Dave Tucci, Dennis Vlander, Jack Levasseur, Jack Bishop, Jerry Uecker, Chuck Morris, and Bill Dewey. All events reported on Radio Superior 1951 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night, and a happy St. Paddy's Day to you.